So as we put everything in context, there we go, Ivy. So as we put everything in context, we understand that this is the day before Jesus is arrested, and let's say, what, 2 days before he's killed, and then that would make it another 3 days before he's resurrected. So as we're leading up to the resurrection, and even next Sunday being Easter Sunday, I mean, let's keep this in context, everything that's happening, that this is pretty much Christ, his last will and testament. Verses 1 through 5, he prays for himself. We are in verses 6 through 19 when he prays for the disciples, which would also include us, seeing as how we are his disciples. Disciples means a follower of Jesus Christ. So if you're following Jesus Christ, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then 20 through 26, he prays for all believers. So the day before he's arrested, 2 days before he's killed, he's thinking about us and praying for us. We thank God for that. So let's keep it all in perspective that what would you be saying as you know that you're going to die in 2 days? What would your conversation be? What would your prayer be? What would your mindset be? What would your thought process be? So we pick it up at verse 11. He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these, underline these, are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Underline Holy Father. He recognizes God as the Holy One who's revered. Not a curse word, but he's Holy Father. His name is hallowed. His name is to be respected. I remember a time when we were growing up, you wouldn't even cuss going by a church. And if you did, you say, Oh, my gosh, God, forgive me. Now they'll tag up and hit up and spray paint on the church. They don't understand that he's Holy Father. That this church represents God. So Jesus makes it known he's talking to the Holy Father. Keep through your own name those, underline those, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And underline they. So you got these and those and they, and we're going to come back to that. But before we get there, we see that Jesus is connected. Make sure you underline those of you that take notes or make a note that he's connected and he's communicating with the Father, and he's praying that we would do the same thing. We have to be connected. We have to be and communicating with the Father daily. That's why we spend time in prayer. That's why we spend time in our Proverbs each day, to stay connected to the Father daily and communicating with the Father daily, because there's so much that goes on. Underline this phrase too. I am no more in the world, verse 11. So Jesus is saying, I'm no longer in the world, but that doesn't really make sense, because they're looking at him and he's in the world, but he's saying, I'm no longer in the world. How can you be right there and not be in the world, and you're no longer in the world, but we're looking at you and you're right here in the world? Make a note, Jesus is talking about a mindset. He said, I'm checked out from the world. He said, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. He said, I'm no longer here. It's a mindset. He's telling us we have to detach from the world. We need to unplug. We need to separate from the world. And the world, make sure you make a note, in the Greek, the world is an orderly system of deception. He's saying, I'm done with this orderly system of deception. I'm checked out of it. I'm detached from it. Ooh, that's a tough one. Challenged every day to stay disconnected from this orderly system of deception. But Jesus is saying, I have a kingdom mindset now. I'm only focusing on the things of God. I'm out of here. I'm no longer here. Family, he's trying to tell us that we need to detach and separate ourselves from this orderly system of deception. We're in it, but we're not of it. I'm no longer here. So as I was thinking about this, let's make it practical. Family, what is, if Christ came back tonight, which he could, the end time prophets, which I do not claim to be, amen, kind of stay away from folks like that. But they say it's nothing left to be done according to the word for Christ to come back. So Christ could come back, which we know is a rapture. It could happen any minute. So are we really detached from the world? So this is how you measure it. Is there anything that you still want to do? If Christ came back tonight, would you say, well, Lord, I just bought me a house, man. Can you come back like next month? I just finally got me a car. And now you want to come back tonight. I've been waiting my whole life to get married. And now you want to come back. Why don't you come back next year? Was just starting to have some fun. Or you say, man, I'm just getting ready to get my divorce papers are final next week. I was just getting ready to live, man. And now you want to come back tonight. I'm 1 month away from my degree and you want to show up. What'd keep you here? I just got accepted to college, Lord. I'm getting ready to go to college and have fun. And you want to come back tonight. Jesus said, I'm out of here. He said, detach and separate yourself from this orderly system. What will keep you here? I just started my business, Lord. I just got a church. I don't care if you're the head of the church. I just got a church. Let me do something, Lord. He's saying that my will has to take the place of your will. Jesus said, I'm no longer here. What will keep you here? And see, that's the question where Jesus said, he said, I'm out of here. So I have a lot of read this in my notes today. Family, you and I must see ourselves as God sees us. We're much more than a job or a career or a grade or a college, a title, a position, a business, a logo or a brand. We are the children of God. We cannot define ourselves according to the world's standards. That's what Christ is trying to tell you. I'm out of here. I'm no longer here. My mindset is different. We now have to focus our mind on what's really important as Christians, and that is the kingdom of God. We have to focus our mind on the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom mindset is what Jesus is talking about. He's getting ready to die. And he's saying, before I leave you, you got to understand that you have to have a kingdom mindset or you're not going to make it. You're going to get caught up in the world. You're going to get caught up in the orderly system of deception. You and I, we have to get our mind and heart detached from this orderly system of deception. Jesus is leading by example. I'm gone. Although you see me here, my mindset is kingdom focused, is what Jesus is saying. And then he goes on and says, Holy Father, keep them united in our mindset. Family, that's the only way that we stay united as a church, when everybody has the mindset of God. No hidden agendas, no ulterior motives. We're all trying to do kingdom business. We have the same mindset. It keeps us united as Christ and the Father was united and still are united. That's why if I had you underline these, those and they. He's talking about a group of people. Jesus didn't even try and do it alone. He had the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. He wasn't alone. I have people telling me, well, you know, Pastor, I don't need to go to church. Me and God, we kind of do our own little thing at home. That's totally contrary to Scripture. It's totally contrary to Scripture. You can't do it alone. The enemy will lie to you and make you think, yeah, man, just stay at home with me. That's the enemy talking to you. That ain't God. We have to come to church. We have to fellowship. We have to stay kingdom minded. Do you know how far you can slide just 1 week out of church? Just 1 week. It don't take long to start sliding. I'm good. And you know what? I'll just read my scripture and then I'll watch whoever on TV and I'll just keep sliding. You slide so far and it means like, got him. Because you won't get a word like this at home. You won't get fellowship like this at home. You won't make eye contact with someone. Brother, how you really doing? You can't get that at home. Sister, how's it really going? How can we pray for you? You don't get that at home. You don't keep a kingdom mindset by staying at home because the TV's on. The kids are always acting crazy. Not you, Jail, the other two. But the kids are always acting crazy. The neighbors are crazy. It's something going on. The Snapchat, the Instagram, something's going to so the Facebook, instead of getting your face in this book, something's always going on. Can't get a kingdom mindset just staying at home. You got to come out. You got to fellowship. You got to get sharp. Iron sharpens iron. And he said, these, those, and they, that's all plural. Amen. He didn't say me, and I. He did not say that. Give them the kingdom mindset, and you can't get that being at home on your own. So here we go, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. I'm out of here, but these are in the world. Family, we're still here. He said, God, I'm coming to you. So his focus is kingdom set. He didn't see himself there. He saw himself already with God. Holy Father, keep me through your name, through your own name. Keep through your own name those who you have given me that they may be one. He's praying for us to have a kingdom mindset as God, the Father, the Son are one. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, God. Those that you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost or none of them was destroyed. Well, with the exception with the son of destruction, that the scripture might be filled. He said, all those that you gave me, I've kept. Well, except for one, which we know to be Judas, who betrayed Christ. So make a note that we have a choice. Either we can serve Christ, or we can betray Christ. We have that free will. God didn't program Judas to betray him. Judas decided to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. So you have a choice. Is it free will or is it everything's ordained to happen? Judas had a choice. You and I have a choice. He said, even though God gave him to me, he decided to go somewhere else. So you can't say, well, I know that I'm saved, because you got to know that you're saved because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you're living for God. You can slide off the deep end and start betraying Christ and not even know it. That's why you need to come get a kingdom mindset at church. Get into the word with your family. Get into the word by yourself. All we do here is an extension of what you're doing on your own. But we come here together. But look at this. It was really interesting in verse 12. He said that the scripture might be fulfilled. And when I looked at the scripture he was talking about, go to Psalms 109. Really quickly. Psalms 109. I'm like, what scripture is Jesus quoting? And family, you better make a note that God doesn't take betrayal lightly. And these folks out here talking about all we all inclusive and God is love and flowered shirts and all this other kind of stuff and kumbaya and peace and all that. You better be careful. You better be careful. God does not take betrayal lightly. This is a scripture that he quoted on Judas, the one who chose to do his own thing. Did I say Psalms 109, 7? We'll read 7 through 12. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few and let another take his office. We know that Matthew took Judas's place. Somebody else took his office. Verse 9, let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the strangers spoil or plunder his labor. And look at verse 12. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any favor to his fatherless children. That's the prayer he prayed on Judas for betraying him. Oh, I don't think God would be like that. Okay. God is a God of love. He wouldn't. Okay. You better read the scriptures. God wouldn't send nobody to hell. He ain't like, it ain't no hell. Okay. That's the prayer. That's the scripture he quoted on Judas in verse 12. That the scripture might be fulfilled. That's the scripture. Did I say happy Easter? Oh, that's next week. Okay. I got to do this now. I can't do this for friends and family. I can't. Well, I might go hard on friends and family. I might. Anyway, it's just the word. It's just the word. You can't soften the word. All right, here we go. Verse 13. And now come I to you. And these things I speak in the world. Underline that he's speaking them in the world. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So Jesus is saying, I'm sorry, did I tell you back to John 17 and 14? Back to John, I'm sorry. Jesus is saying, I speak to them in the world. So family, we can be in the world. We can be in this orderly system of deception, but we can still be living with the joy of Christ. The joy of Christ can be fulfilled in us when we are in this world, when we're going through this world. Even though we're not out of it, even though we have a kingdom mindset, we still got to deal with stuff. But the joy of Christ is fulfilled, is complete in us. He's praying for that for us. So the question is, where are you trying to get your joy from? And who are you trying to get your joy from? If it's not God, somebody, you're trying to get your joy, you're trying to get your happiness, you're trying to get your peace from somebody. My question would be who? Saying while we're in this world, we still have the joy of the Lord. We're still dealing with our situations, and we're still dealing with kids and grandkids and family and siblings and job and all this other kind of stuff and haters and all this other kind of stuff we have to deal with. God said you can go through that and still have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And you can be complete in God. Verse 14, I have given them your word. And the world had hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, it's not going to be a popular decision, which you have in a kingdom mindset. You know, you go to your job and people say, how do you feel about this? Well, you know, I'm not really of this. I'm not really in this world. Yeah, you'll be weird. You'll look at it weird. I'm no longer in the world. Okay. All right. I'll leave you alone. Okay. It's not a popular decision when you tell them what the word says. Jesus has given us the word. They hated Jesus for it. They killed him for it. So we can't expect to be the most popular kid at school or the most popular person on the job because we take a stand for righteousness and holiness. I love verse 15. I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Underline that. God said, I'm not going to take you out. Family, make a note. Some stuff we just got to go through. Man, I would just like to be, what would my son say? Teleported. I would sure just like to be teleported out of here. I'm not praying that for you. I'm praying that you go through. It's not that funny though, little Derek. Some of the stuff we have to go through, little Derek, is not that funny. But Jesus said, I'm not going to get you out of it. I'm not going to take you out of it. I'm praying that you get through it. I'm not going to give you the easy way out of this. I'm not. God said, I'm not going to give you the easy way, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm not going to give you the easy way out of this. You got to grow up. You got to man up. You got to woman up, and you got to go through this. I'm not praying. God, don't take them out. Let them go through. Because when we come out, we're going to look more like Christ. We're going to love more like Christ. We're going to be able to trust God more because some of us can testify now. God has got us through some stuff and he can get us through again. You and I have outlasted some stuff that's taken other folks out. But God got us through. He's going to get us through again. And this is the prayer that Jesus is praying. Don't give them the easy way out. I pray, verse 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So he's talking about that word keep. It means to guard. It means to observe. It means to watch. So I got another read this. Jesus prays that God would guard us as we go through. We're going to go through some things, but Jesus is praying that God will keep, protect, guard, observe, and watch us as we go through. Yes, even the situation that we are in now, God is going to be with us as we go through. And in the prayers, God, keep us from all the evil stuff and things that are happening all around us. Keep it from happening to us. As God is watching us as we go through, other people are watching us as we go through too. God is keeping and protecting us as we go through. That's why you got to have a kingdom mindset. That's how you have to come in fellowship as we're going through. And on Wednesday nights, we're praying for us as we're going through. We have intercessory prayer. We are praying. Thank God for a praying church. We're not playing church. We are a praying church. We take it seriously. The renovation, Paul talks about it in Romans 12 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. He says, I'm begging you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul is begging us to live right. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renovating, by the renewing of your mind. And renewing means to renovate. Your mind needs a complete home makeover. Heard someone say, well, you know, that church is brainwashing you. I know. No, it's actually it's the word of God, not the church. It's the word of God that's washing my mind. And to be honest, as dirty as my mind and thoughts can be, I need my brain washed daily. Somebody say amen. You need your brain washed. As dirty and crazy as your thoughts can be, God help us. I think I shared with you all before. I'm a big fan of the Twilight Zone. Did I tell y'all that? Did I share that, right? Yeah, thank you. So it was one episode, right, where the guy could read thoughts. And he's buying a paper in the morning. He flipped the coin. It stood on its end, and it gave him the ability to read thoughts. So he bumps into a guy, and the guy says, oh, man, if this guy doesn't hit me, he'll kill me. And so he's freaking him out. But he works at a bank. He's a bank executive. He goes to the bank, trying to make a long story longer, right? but it's an old guard, and every day he thinks he's going. He said, I'm going in the back. I'm going to put all the money in my lunch pail. And then I'm going and live on the beach somewhere. So he's hearing this. So he alerts everybody and they go. And of course, the only thing is in there is his lunch. But he said, how did you know? I said, well, I'm able to hear your thoughts. The guard says, I think about that every day. I'm going to rob this place. I'm going to take the money. I think about it every day. Man, do you know if you could hear what people are actually thinking? You know how crazy that would be? And you're trying to tell me you don't need your brain washed daily? Right. Got to get our mind renewed with the word, I'm telling you. Yeah, that extra strength bleach. And that's why you need to come to church and get your mind renewed, fellowship, be challenged to live this thing. Don't think it's strange. I know my daughter and I, we have conversations about, Dad, I'm just kind of thinking a little. Everybody does. Please don't act on it, though. Amen. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When they come in, I cast them down and I cast them out. We think about all kind of crazy stuff. If we acted on half the stuff we thought about, I don't think anybody would be here. Don't let people lie to you and tell you they don't need God. Man, spoke with Brother Mickey yesterday and Brother Clarence. I just love having men to call and call me, and we talk. And but we're talking about just honestly as a man. I don't even argue with guys anymore. I just ask them, what do you do for your sins? What atonement do you have for your sins? And again, if a guy tells me, oh, man, I'm good, I don't sin, then that's a dangerous man. I get away from guys like that. We all need a savior. We all need to be cleansed. Jesus is praying that your mind becomes kingdom, have a kingdom mindset, because this world is trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. So I'm not praying that to take you out, but that you have the mindset and that God would guard you as you go through. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're taken out. Verse 17, sanctify them, clean them up, set them apart through your truth. Your word is truth. So we're sanctified, we're set apart, according to verse 17. We're sanctified, we're set apart through the word is truth. And we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So through Jesus Christ, through the word, we're sanctified, our mind is clean, and it's renewed. It's the only way to get cleansed and to get set apart. We confess and we forsake our sins daily. Because we have crazy thoughts daily. Verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Okay, now we're sent. Underline that. We're sent. Let me see. We're sent. And we're sent. All right. Jesus was sent. Now we're sent. But also make a note that our mind is renewed. First, our mind is renewed. We're cleaned up, and then we're sent. All right, that's the order. God renews our mind. It's verse 17, we're sanctified. All right? And then we're sent. The word comes in us, then it cleans us up, then he sends us out. In, up, and out. Renews, cleans, and sent. Ain't no sense in going out if your mind's not renewed. Ain't no sense in going out if you're not cleaned up. Jesus sends us into this orderly system of deception, empowered with the Holy Spirit to make disciples and preach reconciliation to mankind through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everybody has a purpose. As a Christian, here's your purpose. Let me say it again. Jesus sends into this orderly system of deception, empowered with the Holy Spirit to make disciples and preach reconciliation to mankind through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. So you should never, as a Christian, have to ask, what is my purpose in life? That's your purpose. We talked about it before. Our methods are different, but you should never have to ask, why am I here? This is why you're here. And that's the kingdom mindset. And if it's not a priority, then you got to reevaluate your priorities because your mindset is off. If this is to be true, and if you have Christ in your heart, and when you transition to death, not if, but when you have Christ in your heart, you transition to eternal life. And if you don't, you transition to eternal death and hell and the lake of fire separated from God. Then what's more important than that? What's really more important than that? If you were on the road and the bridge was out and people were driving that way, would you just say, look, hey, that's cool. Let's see what's going to happen. And you just see them going off the cliff. Or would you stop and say, look, the bridge is out. You don't want to go there. What's more important than letting people know that when you transition, the bridge is going to be out? If you don't have Christ, there's no bridge. Christ is a bridge to God. All right, let's finish this up. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So we know we're sent. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus has sanctified himself, set himself apart so that we can be cleansed, so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus had to sanctify himself so that we could have the strength and be empowered through the Holy Spirit to go through. If Jesus is not sanctified, then we're not cleansed either. If Jesus didn't live a sinless life, then we're covered with tainted blood, which means we still are in our sins. Let me put it this way. How can I put it? Make it plain. Okay. You can't get clean in dirty bathwater. All right? You can't. Everything outside of Jesus Christ is dirty bathwater. So my business, my job, what else are we trying to seek satisfy? Money, sex, other stuff. It's all tainted. You can't get clean in dirty bathwater. Okay, let me try and make it even more plain. All right. So it was what? It was 10 of us, 8 kids and mom and dad, right? In a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house in L.A. Yeah, that's what I say. All right. I still don't know how we did it. And we didn't have a shower there, so all we had was a bathtub. That's why I don't take baths today. That didn't come out right, did it? Okay. That didn't come out right, did it? So when I would get out the tub, I'd have to clean it for whoever, my brother, Lavelle or Lloyd or Leo, Freddie or Joe, whoever. And we had the Comet, and we used the soap Ivory. Anybody had that Ivory soap? I saw that float. That soap ain't even supposed to float. But that thing would leave a ring around the tub. And I'd comment and everything. And, you know, you just can't leave that ring around the tub because you're going to get dealt with. And then you don't leave the water in. Who's gonna, I'm not going to take a bath in your... That water's dirty. I can't get clean in dirty bath water. That's what Jesus is saying. He said he had to sanctify himself and be clean so that through him we can be clean. Everything else is dirty bath. We can't get clean in dirty bath water. It just doesn't work. Instead of ring around the tub, we had ring around the, as it's in sin, so to speak, we had ring around the tummy. We had ring around the whole body. Until Christ washed and cleansed us through his life and through his blood. He's saying, God, I've set myself aside so that through me they can be cleansed. And remember, Christ had to go through everything that we went through. He had the same temptations, the same frustrations without sin. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair because he could never tell us that he was in our shoes before. He could never say, we could tell God, you don't understand what it's like growing up in Long Beach in 2017. All the stuff we have to deal with. And if Jesus had an advantage that we didn't have, then he would have to say, you're right. But because he went through everything like we did, he can say, there's no excuse. I had to deal with the temptations, but I didn't sin. I had to deal with crazy folks, but I didn't sin. I saw a lot of things go on, but I didn't sin. That's why you're sanctified through me, because you can't do it on your own. All right, let me finish with this thought. This is the revelation I got, right? The Old Testament saints couldn't be cleaned Because we have this debate on Wednesday nights, because they have the fire and they have the cloud. So the cloud leads them by day, the fire leads them by night. And we're trying to say, man, if we saw that cloud and that fire, there ain't no way I wouldn't follow God. How obvious is it? God says, let's go. The cloud moves, we go. The cloud doesn't move, the fire doesn't move, we stay. We know God is with us. So we're trying to figure out, why were they still complaining and committing sin? And then they're looking at us saying, you guys got the word. You guys got it from A to Z, everything that happened. You even got our life in here, too. Y'all got the word. Y'all got the power of the Holy Spirit, which we didn't have. Why y'all still sinning? So who wins that debate? They say, man, if y'all got evidence that Jesus Christ resurrected, that he split time in half. You guys take communion. You guys do baptisms. You got it over in Israel, the grave that he came out of. Why y'all still sinning? Dude, y'all had the cloud, though. Y'all could see it. Then God's telling us to walk by faith and not by sight. They had sight. They still couldn't walk it. Now, we're supposed to have faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're still having trouble, too. Here we go. But here's one difference. The Old Testament saints couldn't be clean through the word because the word had manifested itself and died and resurrected. They had to offer up lambs and rams and goats and doves and pigeons. But then Christ died once and for all. And now we're sanctified through his word as we read it. And the Holy Spirit renews and renovates our mind because Christ is the word. We have debated often in Bible study how if we saw the cloud, we would be convinced. But we have the word, we have the evidence from Genesis to Revelation. We should be totally convinced, but do we believe? Do we trust? Do we walk by faith or sight? They saw the cloud and fire and still didn't believe. But think about it. The cloud and the fire hadn't manifested itself in flesh and blood. Ain't that something? That fire and that cloud manifested itself as flesh and blood. Sanctified itself and cleansed us through Jesus Christ. So then the question now is, do we believe? And can we believe and trust God from this point forward in our lives? That is the challenge, family. Jesus is praying for us. He laid it out. He sanctified us. We have the advantage, but do we believe? Will we get a kingdom mindset and let this world go and be about God's business? All right. I said I was closing, right? Yes. All right. So, in preparation for next week and the fire and the cloud manifesting itself as flesh and blood, which we studied in John 1:14, take a look at John 18 and 1. After Easter, we'll come back and we'll finish up when Christ prays for the disciples. We pray for disciples. Now then he prays for us. That's just as deep. I'm telling you, I'm reading this. I'm studying this. And it's like, wow, God. But in preparation for Easter, I told you he was getting ready to be arrested. He's getting ready to be killed. And then we'll talk about the resurrection, the power of the resurrection next Sunday during Easter. But John 18 and 1. So Jesus, he just finished praying for all believers. We just read how he prayed for the disciples. That's chapter 17 and verse 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook to Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered with his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him. Remember, we already talked about this dude. Knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Verse 3, then Judas, having received a band of men, over 600 men in a band. All right. So here they come. They come rolling 600 deep to arrest Christ. But remember, Christ knew it was coming, and he was praying for us. Knowing these guys getting ready to come arrest him and kill him. They come rolling 600 deep. Verse 3 again, Judas then having received a band of men and officers from the priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, who are you looking for? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Man, that's a cold game. And when Jesus was on the cross, seven things he said. The first thing he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even being betrayed like that, he still was able to pray forgiveness. Family, we can't hold on to these grudges and all this other stuff. It's killing us. Christ set the ultimate example in forgiveness. Jesus answered him. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, verse 5, I am him. I am he. Judas also with him, betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke of them, which you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and cut off the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The name of the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put away your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And we'll get into the resurrection and everything next week. He was praying for us right before he got arrested and killed. Wow. You would bow your heads just for a minute. Lord, how we thank you, Lord. We can't even fully comprehend. We can't even wrap our minds around how much you loved us and cared for us. What you did for us. How you cleansed us through yourself when we accept you as our personal Lord and Savior. How deep and delicate it is, Lord. How you're challenging us to have a kingdom mindset. Detach yourselves from this orderly system of deception. Let nothing be more important than doing the kingdom work of God. Be no longer in the world. Get empowered through the Holy Spirit. Allow Christ to cleanse our hearts so we can go out, not with the ring around our body, but cleansed through the blood of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, as you challenge us not to be business as usual. We cannot be the same, not in these last days. As the writing is on the wall, Lord, thank you for the challenge. Pray that we would answer it, Lord, and live for you. Lord, I want to pray. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But I want to do that today. I didn't understand how serious it was. I didn't understand the depth of it. I just thought it was something people do, go to church to just as a show. But I realize now that God is a lot deeper than that. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, but you want to do that this morning. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I got to detach myself. I got to get serious about kingdom business. I got to get serious about the fellowship. I got to get serious about following God. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I've never officially joined, but I, from the worship to the word, I just love what God is doing in this church. I know my purpose. I want to find my method and then be a part of South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We love you. We're not just members. We're family. I thank God for the family here. The fellowship. Family prays for each other. Family loves each other. Family's committed to oneness. Family's committed to the mindset and building the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask Sister Dominique to come up, and I'm going to pray for her this morning. Just stand right here, Sister Dominique. She's coming up for rededication. Anyone else want to come up for rededication? God's put it on your heart. Just the mindset, just a shift in mindset. Kingdom focus. Going to ask the youth leaders and even her parents come up, and family, as we pray for her. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. And we know that all our hearts are up here, Lord, because we know we all need to step our game up. We all know that we need to turn up the volume on the kingdom mindset so we could hear your voice louder than all these other voices. So we thank you for our youth. We thank you for our youth teachers. We thank you that the youth are being taught the word of God. The youth are hearing from God to answer the challenge to draw closer to God. So we thank you for Dominique coming up, and we thank you for all those who didn't come up and say, God, I want to turn up the volume to hear your voice. God, I know I could be doing better for you, and I want to do that. So, Lord, as we stand up here and we're praying for her and we're covering her, we thank you, Lord. Your word says, as she goes through, as we all go through, Lord, you guard, you keep, you protect us. We know that you are a strong tower. The righteous, your name is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. That's what Jesus was telling us. Run to God. Get under that strong tower, the horn of salvation, the rock, the fortress, the shield, the buckler. So we thank you, Lord. Your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because you were sanctified, we can be sanctified through your blood, through your covering. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we can get cleansed through the blood of Christ. Thank you for saving us from all the dirty bathwater that's out there. That we would fool ourselves thinking it's making us happy and cleansing us, Lord. Thank you for being that living water. Thank you for empowering us with the Holy Spirit. Let us be convinced. Let us believe. Let us follow you, Lord. Let us get closer today than we were yesterday and seek to draw closer tomorrow. Each day, give us our daily bread. Shape us, mold us. You're the potter, we're the clay. Shape us and mold us into what you've called us to be, Lord. We love you, we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.